Let us pray. God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. Our scripture today comes from the book of Luke. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down."
Do any of you have any experience with fig trees? Did you have one growing up? My grandparents had one. Really, June? My grandparents had one in their backyard. It never bore any fruit. It was there, and they told us what it was, because we wouldn't know otherwise. And my grandfather very diligently, every year, you know, I grew up in New York, so it gets cold in the winter. He would wrap it up in plastic to keep it warm. And every spring, there it would be, just as nothing as ever. But he had hope. It was weird, too, because he had this big, like, oil can full of manure. It was all like liquid. It was gross. Like when we were kids, we would take rocks and just like drop them in, and it would just like disintegrate into nothing. We assumed, right? We didn't know what happened. We weren't going to find out. But he really had this hope that someday this fig tree would sprout. Never did. But anyway, here's Jesus. There's a big fig tree behind the church. Did you know this? Yeah. I stole a branch. Like, I'm so proud of this. I stole a branch. But there's a little fig forming right at the... See? Yeah. Well, I'm going to show it to the Fijians have their big meeting this afternoon. And this is I'm going to do a children's message, so I want to show it to them. I don't know if he's sticking to water, if it will work. It's worth a try. I tried it once when I lived in Brooklyn. There was another fig tree in the neighborhood, and I tend to do this. I broke off a branch, and I took it home and stuck it in water, but nothing happened. It just, you know, this is California. It's magic, California magic. June. Just one? So here's a story about Jesus, and he's back in his old hometown area, right? He's in Galilee. That's where he grew up. And then these other Galileans come, and they tell him about these other Galileans who were at the temple, you know, making their sacrifices, and Pilate's soldiers come in and just cut them down, their blood mingling with the blood of their sacrifices. It's a horrible, terrible picture. And what I think that these people who are telling this to Jesus, they're trying to stir up his nationalistic feelings, right? This is your hometown. These are your people, our people. Look what they did to us. I think they're trying to rile him. But Jesus, as always, right, when faced with these temptations, because I think that's a temptation. You're there with your native people, and they have these strong feelings about something that's happened to other native people. You all want to gather together, right? That's our our MO. That's what we do. We pull together. But Jesus wants them to look beyond, right? Because the way they're trying to rile him is to, so what kind of sinners were these people that this horrible thing happened to them? But that's the wrong question. That's never the question that God, Jesus, wants us to ask. It's the wrong question. The question should have been, what happened to the wives and families of those people who were chopped down while making sacrifice? Who's taking care of those people? And the answer is us, because we see those people who need to be taken care of, and we have to step up to take care of them. So Jesus cuts them down in the middle of that and tells this parable of the fig tree. According to Leviticus, have you ever read Leviticus, Mark? Have you read Leviticus? Wow. Exactly. So Leviticus is one of those Old Testament books that is all of the laws that the Jewish people were to abide by so that they could maintain their identity, right? See, here's another thing of maintaining our identity. Maintain their identity so that they didn't get mingled in with all of the other nations in the neighborhood, right? I like to refer to them as the bigger kids in the neighborhood, little Israel and all these other big kids. So the book of Leviticus is all the rules that they have to follow to maintain their separateness, to maintain their holiness to God, right, as God's special people. Well, it's noon. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. When my alarm goes off at noon, remember that we set that so that I asked each of you to do it, but mine goes off at noon, and to step back, you know, because I have it done for every day, to look and see where God is in the world. Where am I seeing God, right? Just to take a minute to recognize. And yet, here we are in church, and whatever goes off, I always just dismiss it and put it aside. Do you see God here today? Have you seen God this morning? Yeah. I feel like when I just put it aside, I pushed aside the whole practice of what we were doing. I just wanted to take that minute to recognize that that's what we're doing. God is here. So Leviticus is one of those books that sometimes when people decide they're going to read the whole Bible cover to cover, they start with Genesis. Leviticus is usually where they give up, right? Because it's all of these rules. It's very dry. You know, there's no story to it. It's just rules, rules, rules. But there are rules in there pertaining to the proper care of fruit trees. Yeah. You know, you didn't get that far. It's verse 1. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. So it's the rule was that for the first 3 years, you were not supposed to eat the fruit of the tree. And then the fourth year, when that fruit came up, that was supposed to be offered to God. And then you weren't allowed to actually have any of that fruit until the fifth year. So here's a tree that's not bearing fruit for 3 years. Right, there's the parallel. And the owner of the vineyard comes out. He's been watching that tree for 3 years. Maybe he was excited to make an offering of the fruit to God, right? Who knows? But I think it's just transactional thinking, right? I talk about this all the time. You do something, you get something in return. I plant this tree, I water the tree, I give it space, the sun comes out, and if it isn't going to give fruit, then it's taking up space where I could, I don't know, plant something easy. I could put a tomato plant there, an avocado tree there, right? I could plant something very easy there. But this tree is taking up too much space, so chop it down, it's not worth it. Transactional thinking. You must do this in order for me to give you this. But Lent is a season of transformation. Jesus is all about transformation. When he talks about repentance, repentance is a transformative experience. Repent means to turn around. So if I'm going along this transactional path, here's a dollar for you, I'll take this in exchange. Here's this for you, I'll take that in exchange. Bob, here you go, here's a dollar, sing a song for me, right? It has to be something in exchange for what I'm giving. But Jesus isn't about transactional thinking. It's all about grace. You get these gifts because God loves us. When you read a parable, do you ever think of, do you turn it into like a metaphor, like, oh, this person is this, and this person is that, and that's what this person means? Sometimes. Do you do it with this one? Do you? Yeah. Sometimes people look at this parable and they think that the vineyard owner, right, the one who wants to chop down the tree, that's God. And he's decided, well, you know, this tree just isn't cutting it. I'm going to chop it down. It's not that far from thinking in the world, right? And especially in the biblical world, remember Noah and the ark? That's what happened. And then they say that Jesus is the gardener. Don't kill them. I'll go and make this sacrifice of, you know, digging in the manure and digging up the roots so that this tree can have life and come back to life and will be fruitful. And then we are the fig trees. I'm not sure I'm in with that. I'd like to think that each of us can be any of those three characters. The fig tree is a character. Any one of us could be any one of the three characters in this parable. The vineyard owner with his transactional thinking. I mean, that's the way of the world. We think that way all the time. You can't function in the world without having some kind of transactional mindset. You have to know at least how it works. And we participate in a system where that is the predominant thinking. And then there's this poor fig tree that is unable or doesn't want to burst forth with the fruit that it is created to give, right? I've mentioned John Shelby Spong to you before. Yes, no, maybe. He's passed away now, but he was the Episcopalian bishop of Newark, New Jersey. New Jersey, Judy, did you know him? No, oh. Did you? But he used to say that Jesus' ministry can be narrowed down into his teachings into three main points: love wastefully, live fully, and be all that God created you to be. So we look at this fig tree, it is not being all that it is created to be, for whatever reason. I think there are a lot of people out in the world who are not living and being all that God created them to be, for whatever reasons. And it's for us to be like the gardener, because the gardener recognizes that there is potential here in this fig tree. It's not doing all that it could do. It's not living its fullest life. It's not living fully. And it's not bearing this fruit in the world that would benefit all of those around it. So he does the work. He gets down and he clears the roots and aerates the soil a little bit, puts some manure in there, right? He gets down in the poop and really works. This is an act of humility on the part of the gardener for the fig tree. It is for us to act out of humility. It's not for us to do this, although there are definitely benefits, to go and help those who are in a less loving space, to help pull them out so that they can be fully embody the beloved children of God that they are. Sally, you okay? Okay. You look like you're going to cry. All right. I didn't mean to pull attention to you. I just want to make sure you're all right. Sorry. Okay. So that's what we do. And during this transformational time of Lent, we do that work for ourselves, so that we strengthen ourselves to go out and help those around us, right? I had a friend who, he decided at one point that he was an atheist. He just decided one day he's an atheist. I knew him from church. He just said, because, and I said, why? He said, because, you know, all these terrible things are going on in the world. How does God allow that to happen? But, yeah, I get it. But for me, I mean, I don't want to get into all that theological stuff. You know, I never want to get into all that theological stuff.
Never.
I'm a practical theologian. So what does that mean to me, right? Like Wesley, practical theologian. God is there with the people who are suffering. God is there putting his arm around the people who are crying in the pew, or the people who are outside afraid to come in because of what all the memories that it will bring up. We are servants of a God who gracefully gives and we, in turn, work on our core strengths, anyway, so that we are fortified to go out and do that for the world, right? We are God's hands, hearts, eyes, ears out in the world. Amen?